This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So before we got started on this episode of the PowerCast, Randall and our special guest, Gray Scott, were talking about their ceilings. And the reason is because on last week's episode, as I was trying to talk on the show, we had the maintenance crew from the apartment complex fixing a leak in the ceiling. Now, the leak is fixed. They had to come back several times to find the source. But now you have this big square of sheetrock with plastered, and we're waiting for them to paint it. And the kind of paint they use in this unit is called popcorn paint, which is nothing that you have butter with. Okay? I haven't had popcorn so long I forgot how it tastes. Randall, you have what, sparkles in your ceiling?
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't just get the plain popcorn. No, I've got little flecks of silver, like if you cut your tinsel into little tiny pieces, there's little flecks of silver, like glitter. They're right into it, and it's kind of an art form for those people in the day. And at night, if the lighting is just right, you can see the little sparkles. Your imagination can do whatever it wants with those.
Gray Scott, what kind of ceiling do you have?
I'm building a house in the Hudson Valley in upstate New York. We actually went with a metal roof, and I think just a flat ceiling.
Of course, as you know, the Hudson Valley was once, many years ago, seen to a number of UFO sightings. Have you ever followed UFOs?
It's actually interesting that you ask me that. Something that we can talk about in the after show, it's not something I would necessarily talk on the first part of the show, but there's been some things that have been going on in my life recently that I thought you guys would find really interesting. Part of it is the Hudson Valley is sort of a hot spot for this. You know, Whitley Strieber had his encounters just not far from where I'm building my house, actually.
Well, you're hoping you just bring them on. Okay, we'll hold that for after the PowerCast, which is, by the way, available for subscribers of the PowerCast Plus and for long-term subscriptions. We also offer a coupon code for James Fox UFO documentary, The Phenomenon, with the 3 hours of extra stuff for long-term subscriptions at the PowerCast. PowerCast.plus. Gray Scott says here in the liner notes, you are a futurist. Is that
That's
something
right.
that one can be and get a job as one?
You can, actually. You know, a lot of futurists, they're also called foresight experts, strategic foresight experts. A lot of companies will hire futurists to come on and tell them sort of what's going to happen in the near future. They're foresight consultants. IBM, Ford, lots of huge companies have foresight experts that work to tell them and sort of guide them in the next 10 to 15 years to look forward. I'm more of a traditional futurist. I'm more of the Buckminster Fuller, Isaac Asimov sort of style futurist. My job is really more based in the philosophy of technology. So I spend most of my time talking about the future of, you know, consciousness and the future of artificial intelligence and those types of things. You know, I consult with companies all the time, so it is a real job.
Well, it definitely sounds like one. You've been on a number of TV shows I see as well. Okay, so if you're consulting with a technology company, you're dealing with a general concept of like AI or what the next iPhone should be like?
Well, it depends. Again, it depends on what kind of futurist you are. Most of my clients, the last big project I did was with AT&T. They hired me to do a follow-up of a campaign called You Will, It was a campaign that aired, I think, in 1996, if I remember correctly. There's a whole set of videos your listeners can go look on YouTube. It's called AT&T You Will Campaign. I think it was in 1996. And it was a series of commercials that AT&T did with Bell Labs company, which is this sort of futuristic company that was trying to predict the future in the 90s. And everything that's in that series of commercials has come true. Everything. And the most miraculous thing, one of my favorites, I think Paul Verhoeven, was it Paul Verhoeven? I can't remember who the director was, but he was a big director who was doing a lot of videos for MTV in the 90s, shot the commercials. One of the most miraculous ones is a guy standing at Yosemite. He's standing in Yosemite, and he's wearing a smartwatch, and he calls home to talk to his wife. This was in 1996. Do you remember what we had in 1996 for technology? We didn't have that. So that's the kind of stuff that I do, that people will listen to this show in 20 years and they'll say, wow, he was talking about things that are happening now.
Okay, just put things in perspective. The first Apple Watch came out like 2015.
Yeah.
And the Apple Watch, where you can actually use it as a cellular telephone, came out, what, 2 or 3 years later. So we're talking about here something that did not happen for 22 or 23 years later. Now, was there a point in time when you guys were looking at electric vehicles at all?
So typically what will happen is people will find me, they'll look for Foresight Experts, and they'll Google, and I'm actually one of the top, I think I'm in the top 2 to 3, when you do search engine on Google for futurist, I'm one of the top 3, I think, to come up. Partly because I do a lot of television work and a lot of radio interviews, because part of my job as a futurist is to educate the public about what is actually happening, what's out there. Because a majority of people don't really know how far advanced we really are. I mean, some of the stuff I talk about is so it sounds like science fiction, but it's actually every single thing that I'm telling you and that I'll tell you tonight, I can point to a university that has a paper that has proven these technologies to be real. So sometimes part of my job is just to, you know, educate the public. But, you know, a company will contact me and they'll say, we want to talk about the future of driverless cars, or we want to talk about the future of electric planes. Or so whatever the subject is, I usually go do my research for a couple of weeks and then consult with that company. And that's what happened with AT&T as well. I had to watch the campaign. I had to see how correct they were. And so that's typically how it works. But a majority of what I'm doing right now is just, you know, I just created a new podcast series called Futuristic Now. It's up on iTunes. And I'm basically every week I'm just presenting my ideas about the future and where technology is going.
Well, I definitely want to talk more about that. I just wonder, in 1995, if we could have predicted that 25, 26 years later, AT&T would be streaming a movie about Wonder Woman taking place in 1984.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. I think if you go back, you know, futurism has a long history. It's you know, it actually goes back to the very beginning of human history. When, you know, when we think of the oracles and of Delphi, and when we think of mystics and religious and spiritual futurism. So it has a very long history, but it really came into focus in the 1950s and 60s when Alvin Toffler and Buckminster Fuller and Arthur C. Clarke, Isaac Asimov, when those futurists, and they're very, all four of those people are very different types of futurists. You know, futurists sometimes write science fiction, sometimes they work with corporations, sometimes they do policy work. Like Alvin Toffler was a very famous futurist who wrote a book called Future Shock.
Oh, yes, I remember that in my youth. Gray Scott, futurist, is here. And we're looking, I'm going to ask him how you are able to come up with ideas about what's going to happen or where we're going to be in 20 or 25 years, if we're still here. With Gina Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Looking back, of course, at people like Isaac Asimov. And Isaac Asimov, by the way, I saw him lecture several times. And he was funny as anything. People don't realize, you think of him as being serious or this serious sci-fi writer. You go to a sci-fi convention And they all lined up to see Isaac because he was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see any recordings of him doing a speech?
Oh, I've seen almost everything that I can get my hands on. I've studied his work. I've studied his videos. Arthur C. Clarke, Gene Roddenberry. I mean, you name the futurist, and I have really gone down the rabbit hole with those people. Because really, part of my research is to figure out what came before me and what my predecessors had to say about the future. So not all of my ideas are original concepts, because I'm building on what was put out before me. You know, artificial intelligence had been discussed way before I was even born. So what I'm doing right now is taking what became so famous in the 1960s and 70s with these futurists, and I'm actually bringing it to the next generation and trying to promote futurism and create new futurists that will carry on this lineage. And it's been a really fascinating journey. I have been all around the world, spoken all around the world to different companies and different groups. So it's been an adventure.
Definitely, yeah. You've appeared on History Channel, Discovery Channel, BBC Radio, spoke at NASA on digital consciousness, and like you were saying, you've recently launched your own podcast called Futuristic Now. What was the motivation for you to launch Futuristic Now when there's so much out there already? I mean, this is a really saturated market. What is it that drove you to just dive in there as well?
When you listen to the first episode, and once you hear the next four episodes, because the next episode, I think episode two, is called Machine Consciousness. I'm not talking about hardware, the bevel on the iPhone. I'm not predicting what the next iPhone is going to look like. What I'm doing, I'm diving deep into the philosophy of technology. I'm diving deep into the heart of what technology actually is, because I believe, and it appears from the evidence, that technology is somehow intrinsically and indigenously bound with our what we call consciousness. It is bound to our consciousness. You know, you have to think about fire. Think about the wheel. Those things changed human consciousness as we know it. The printing press. Think about how the printing press changed consciousness. And all of those things are technology. So, you know, when I lecture, when I talk to people, I always say, tell me what your philosophy of technology is. And it's a question they've never been asked before. And I'm talking about CEOs of major companies, religious leaders, politicians, policymakers. If you ask them, what is your philosophy of technology? Most of the time, they've never been asked that question. So I think the reason I started this podcast was because I wasn't hearing anything like this out there. There are a lot of technology podcasts. There are a lot of social futurism podcasts. But there just wasn't anything that had the depth of diving into what consciousness and technology really are.
Oh, definitely. Now, yeah, because you take it a step further. Like when you ask the question, what is your philosophy of technology? Off the top of my head, I would say that it is the development of tools. It's tool making. But your first podcast is the idea of technology as nature, as an extension of nature. And that takes it to a whole other level. It's really interesting because we've had another futurist on previously, Christian Kroma, who's come to the same conclusion. And so this is something that I think is an idea that is growing out there. And I'd like you to explain that basically for our listeners. What do you mean by technology as nature?
Well, the quote that I always use is technology is natural and nature is technological. And the reason I say it that way is we have a tendency to see ourselves as separate from nature. we have a tendency to see ourselves as the creator of technology. And that's absolutely false. It's a false narrative that I've been trying to get people to sort of break open their cosmic mind to see much greater, to see the universe in a universal scale of time instead of a human lifespan. And what I mean by that is you have to expand your consciousness when you're thinking this way, forwards and backwards. You have to think in cosmic time. So what I've said is that and I said this at NASA too, and this actually, this was one of the reasons they wanted me to come speak is because, and NASA knows this, by the way, this is not something that I came up with. NASA knows absolutely that this is true, that the only reason you can get a rover to land on Mars and not crash is because there are numeric codes built into the cosmic universe. And what I mean is you have to know the numbers and they have to be accurate for you to land on that planet. And so what I've said is the cosmos seems to be a geometric, computational structure. Now we can debate whether that is an organism. We can debate whether this is some sort of simulation. Whatever it is, the truth is that this was here before we ever evolved as a species. We arrived here after this system was built. We did not invent mathematics. We did not invent geometry. We have only merely discovered those aspects of the system that we emerged into. And in fact, we are byproducts of geometry. We are byproducts of mathematics. If you dive down into the micro and macro, you'll start to see that there is a geometric code that is built into the human body. I mean, every great philosopher throughout time comes to this conclusion eventually, and Leonardo da Vinci knew this. I mean, he really put it down on paper, and people are still studying his work. He understood that there is some sort of geometric scaffolding that sort of holds up the universe that we find ourselves in. And so that's the reason I say that nature is technological and technology is natural, because anything that we create is a byproduct of the algorithmic system that we find ourselves in.
Let's break here. Grace Scott joining us, futurist. We're trying to understand where we are now and understand the future and where we fit in. Who knows? With Gina Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
House Democrats say they will bring an article of impeachment against President Trump to the floor of the House of Representatives as soon as Monday. The article being circulated accused the president of fomenting the unrest that led to Wednesday's breach of the Capitol building. More than 180 representatives, all of them Democrats, have signed on in support. Senator Pat Toomey doesn't see a reason to proceed with the impeachment process. The Pennsylvania Republican tells Fox News that while he thinks the president's behavior warrants the effort, an impeachment wouldn't be prudent.
I have to say I do think the president's behavior this week does disqualify him from serving. But we've got 10 days left, 11 days left. He's not going to be serving after that time. We'll have a new president. I don't know whether logistically it's actually even really possible or practical, and I'm not sure it's desirable to attempt to force him out, what, a day or two or three prior to the day on which he's going to be finished anyway.
This is USA Radio News. As Democrats are circulating draft articles of impeachment, and three of them say they will introduce them on the House floor as early as Monday, one senator is calling on President-elect Joe Biden to call off those efforts. USA Radio News' Mike Fortier has the story.
House Democrats preparing to bring articles of impeachment against President Trump. They accused Trump of inciting insurrection ahead of Wednesday's violence at the Capitol. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on Fox News with the plea to President-elect Biden.
Joe Biden said, "It's up to Congress regarding impeachment. No, President-elect Biden, it's up to you. Pick up the phone, call Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the squad and tell them, stand down. This will destroy the country even further. You have the power to do that. The question is, do you have the courage to do it?"
Graham says we have a chance as a nation to start over. House Democrats are also considering removing Trump through the 25th Amendment.
And the head of Britain's royal family has been vaccinated against COVID-19. 94-year-old Queen Elizabeth and her 99-year-old husband, Prince Philip, received their coronavirus vaccine on Saturday, according to Buckingham Palace. This is USA Radio News.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, in looking over futurists of the past, I think there are people out there we didn't think of as futurists. But boy, did they affect our culture. Gene Roddenberry being developed this entire universe of the 23rd century, and people were so highly influenced, they tried to duplicate the Star Trek inventions. People watched Scotty and became scientists and engineers. I mean, it's incredible. You have this character actor who appeared in TV show for 3 years, forgetting the reboots and everything. And he'd go around and talk to people and say, "Scotty inspired me to do what I do now." It's amazing the influence that Roddenberry and his work had.
Mm-hmm. I think on Wikipedia, Roddenberry is categorized as a futurist. I mean, the average person wouldn't necessarily think of him as a futurist, but that's exactly what he was. And I think you're right. There are a lot of people that we wouldn't necessarily call futurists, but that's exactly what they are. Tesla, obviously, Nikola Tesla is like one of the most famous futurists. And so you have this lineage that exists that has influenced modern day designers and engineers, just like Elon Musk. So, I mean, without Roddenberry, without Nikola Tesla, you don't have Elon Musk.
Well, Roddenberry also, Star Trek, I mean, if you look at the credits, they had scientific advisors, people who would be not just entertainers, but people who were thinking about, well, what is the future going to be like? And trying to portray that to the general public. I mean, if that's not futurism, what is?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I've consulted on a couple of films, and I've produced a couple documentaries about futurism. I did a science fiction movie called Embers, and the production company, the director and the production crew came to my place in New York, and we sat down, and I did a presentation for them. And in one of the scenes, specifically, they wanted me to talk about, you know, what would a future bunker, a survival bunker, look like in, let's say, 2030 or 2050. So I gave them all of my predictions. I listened to what they were thinking, and I sort of guided them through the process of things that maybe they were a little behind on, and said, you know, maybe you should push this a little bit further because technology actually moves faster than people realize.
Or does it? I mean, okay, like everyone knows, we've seen the pictures on Popular Mechanics magazine. I remember a show back in the 70s, or just actually before the 70s, in early part of the 70s. In fact, it was called Here Come the 70s. And it was like, wow, this is really cool. That was my first exposure to the media for a futurist type television show. And of course, there was all kinds of things that were predicted. Like, okay, we have robots, but that doesn't mean that the people who took the jobs away from the people who used to do those jobs are now sitting at home on their lawn, you know, sipping margaritas while the robot does the work. And there was, you know, flying cars, which we, you know, they're getting there, but you know, that's been a long time coming. We have these sort of idealized versions of the future, and then we have these more dystopian versions of the future. I had mentioned Christian Kroma recently, just in the previous episode there, and he is big into AI and how it's going to affect the world. But instead of sort of the doomsday scenario, he thinks it's going to be our savior. What do you think about AI? Where is it on this scale? I think it maybe has the potential to be one or the other, or something in between. What do you see happening with it?
Part of what I have been saying is that AI is the mirror of human consciousness. So everything that exists in human consciousness is just going to be reflected in artificial intelligence. So if we don't get a hold of our greed, if we don't get a hold of our fear, if we don't get a hold of this inequality that we seem to be perpetuating around the world, AI is just going to reflect that. So you're going to see more inequality reflected in technology because we haven't solved it for ourselves. You know, there is a mysticism in futurism, and I know a lot of foresight experts don't like to talk about it, but they're just being they're not being truthful, because the magic that is happening and will happen in the next 10 to 15 years is going to blow people's minds. And it's going to present itself in a way that is just as mystical as some of the extraterrestrial contactee experiences that you guys talk about on your show sometimes as well. Can you imagine? I just want to paint a picture for you. Imagine standing in front of a humanoid machine in 25 or 30 years that is 10 billion, with a B, 10 billion times more intelligent than you are. Do you understand what that machine will do to you, to your consciousness? It will split your consciousness wide open and be able to peer into your mind in ways that we can only begin to imagine. And I mean this on a very scientific level. I mean that we're talking about a machine that can read your microfacial expressions, a machine that can predict your moves 10 steps ahead by listening to your breathing, by listening to your vocal intonations, and running that through its processor. The kinds of things that are developing from the universities and emerging from the universities around the world, once those things start to amalgamate and come together, and once those machines start to become slightly self-aware, we are going to face our own reflection. And my message has been to people, not to really focus on the technology, because that's going to happen no matter what we do. Unfortunately, it's going to develop. So what we really need to focus on is fixing some of our stupid little, you know, monkey mind problems that we have. We still haven't become a species that takes care of each other. We still haven't fixed dirty water and a lack of food and hunger. And I mean, you name it. We have in our future the opportunity to face ourselves honestly through AI in a way that could change the world and make it a paradise, but we're going to have to fix the things that are wrong with us first.
Interesting. I think maybe in some ways we're starting to move in that direction. There was a few years ago, I got a thing in my mailbox, piece of promotional mail, and it talked about conscious investing. Now, so I thought, oh, conscious investing. What does that mean to me? To me, that means thinking about what to invest in from not simply a profit motive, but from an ethical perspective. So I called them up, and they laughed. They said, no, it has nothing to do with ethics or any philosophy whatsoever. It's strictly being aware of what investments are going to be the least amount of risk for the most amount of return. And I thought, oh, wow, you know, there really needs to be an ethical investing type of strategy going on. And now, if you look, it makes up a healthy part of a lot of people's portfolios because people have realized they don't want to invest in things that they consider to be unethical. Now, yeah, so if you're going to apply that, look at how much computation is being used in the marketplace. And if there's some algorithm that can say, well, this is more ethical than another, then there you go. It's starting to merge.
We'll get a break here in a moment. I'll also want to ask a corollary question here, which is in general, in terms of technology, do people even care so much about ethics? And we can go into Google and Facebook and other issues we all know about. Gray Scott, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
By the way, Gray will join us also on After the Paracast, where he's going to talk about some really, really unusual things that apparently are paranormal related. I hope I'm not misquoting him, but right now, Randall asked Gray a question in our previous segment. Gray, you had some comments about it?
I do. So what you guys are tapping into is exactly what my show Futuristic Now is about. What we're doing in this conversation is we are developing a philosophy of technology. We are saying, is technology a tool to make us wealthy individually, or is technology a tool to better humanity? Is technology a device that we should use callously, or is technology going to be something that we have to be in relationship with? And I'll give you a really direct example of what I'm talking about. In the West, children, when they encounter robots, typically have a very different relationship than children in the East, and I mean in Japan specifically. Children in Japan have a very almost spiritual relationship with robots. They would never think to kick them or to push them down or push them in water or whatever, but you do see that in the West. Children have a very different relationship here because we in the West have the Terminator narrative.
Or BattleBots.
Exactly. Battlestar Galactica, yeah. So we have a very different relationship in the West with machines and robots, especially humanoid robots, than they do in Japan and in the East. That is a technological philosophy. And I say that because one of the areas that is starting to emerge is this idea of humanoid robots that look very human, that we can interact with. When those machines, through the process of developing artificial intelligence, and once those machines become semi-conscious or even conscious to a certain degree, and I don't mean human conscious, I mean machine consciousness. If a machine says to you when you're kicking it, that hurts, what does that mean to us? Does that mean that we dismiss it because we know it's artificial? Is it artificial? So there are a lot of like really deep philosophical questions that need to be answered, not just as a individual, because you have to answer those for yourself, we have to answer those for ourselves as a culture and as a society. If we can develop a philosophy of technology that is based around equality and making sure that we all have what we need, clean water, food, shelter, then we live in that future that is abundant. But if we continue down this road of, you know, dominance, seeing more and more people that just want to be billionaires through the process of technology, I don't think that we're going to see the kind of future that I want to live in. I mean, in the futurism field, this is the difference between cyberpunk future versus solarpunk future. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah, I guess it depends on kind of which version or graphic novel you read, but I kind of get the picture. What you've made is a really, really interesting point, one we've discussed on one of our discussion forum topics on the Paracast forum, and that is consciousness itself and what constitutes consciousness. One of the things that we seem to be in agreement on there in this discussion is that intelligence and consciousness are two entirely separate things. There could, in theory, be something that is 1,000 times more intelligent than we are, and as you mentioned, can read facial expressions, can tell based on algorithms and statistics and programming and memory what the most likely thing is to happen in a given situation. But that doesn't mean that they have any experience of what it's like to be in that situation, or even any awareness like we do of what it's like to be in the world. And this gets into philosophy like David Chalmers, who you've probably heard of, made some interesting commentary with relation to the Matrix, for example. Mm-hmm. So intelligence and consciousness, two very different things. And we don't know what it is about us that gives us our experience of the world around us, that what we call consciousness. We have a pretty good idea how our intelligence works, but why it should be accompanied by this experience of what it's like is something we have really no idea about. And we can't jump to the conclusion, in other words, that microchips are going to produce consciousness. Maybe only biological brains have that particular ability because they're made out of the only materials that will do that job, because they have to be configured in this way that you talked about earlier, where only certain configurations of things in the universe have the kind of results that go along with them. So I think we have to be really careful about equating intelligence with consciousness.
I think you're absolutely right. And the fact is, really, and this is every philosopher's nightmare, we don't really know the differences between our consciousnesses on this broadcast. I mean, I don't really know what it means to be Gene, and I don't really know what it means to be Randall, and you can never know what it really means to be Gray.
Well, you don't want to be me, let me tell you.
So, I mean, I always think of that as one reference, and then start layering on top of that the animal kingdom, and that takes you in a whole different direction. And then on the other side of it, layer on top of that the fact that even if you were standing in front of a super intelligent artificial machine that had quote unquote machine consciousness with feeling, or so it says, feelings and emotions and pain and all of that, how would we ever really know whether that machine and what it was reporting was actually the feeling that we have?
Transcendence. The movie, exactly. The question that is asked, you know, can you prove you're self-aware? You know, interesting question. Can you?
Not just that, but how would we know that the correlation is one-to-one with what we feel? So when a machine says, I'm feeling pain, what does that mean? What does the machine, is the machine actually feeling something, or is it mimicking human consciousness and reproducing a stimuli, right?
Exactly. Totally exactly. That is That is the point. And there are philosophers. I've been increasingly moving in this direction personally, Mysterianism, mm-hmm. who say that we'll never be able to answer that. And so we're kind of left with this sort of assumption, kind of like in Star Wars. I think it's Luke Skywalker. He's asked at one point, why he's polite to the androids, because they don't have any feelings that they know of. And he says, well, yeah, I know that, but it doesn't hurt to be nice anyway. Because, and I thought that was really important, because regardless of whether or not they have consciousness, to be decent to even intelligent things, even if they aren't necessarily having the experience that we are, just builds a better world.
Well, what you're describing is a reflective value system. So in other words, and this is what I was saying about the AI being the reflection of humanity in the future. If we become the kind of species that kicks and brutalizes and rapes machines in the future, it has nothing to do with what they're feeling. It has more to do with what it turns us into. I mean, it turns us into a different kind of a species that is capable of being brutal to a machine that says that it's in pain. And
yeah. And here we go with Arthur C. Clarke, AI, right? The movie where and where they have the what do they call it in the movie? They have this is like a some sort of wrecking, like a demolition derby almost of AI machines.
Oh, yeah.
And, the young boy gets caught up in that. And at one point, when this acid starts to drip a little bit on him, he starts going, please don't burn me. It hurts.
It hurts. Yeah.
And that's when people start to go, we don't hear robots pleading for their lives or saying that they're hurt.
You won't get hurt if you listen to these announcements. Gray Scott, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.